If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Verse 42. Luke chapter 2, verse 42. And when he was 12 years old, this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they returned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Understand that the Lord Jesus Christ, they went to Jerusalem. He was 12 at the time, and he stayed behind as they left, and they began looking for him. And Mary, his mother, says, Your father and I were looking for you. And the Lord politely corrects her, very politely. He says unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Understand that the Lord Jesus Christ was virgin born. Joseph was not his biological father, but Mary called him his father. But the Lord gently corrects her and says, I'm doing my real father's business here. And so understand that Jesus was virgin born, and God the Father was his father. Joseph was a father figure in his life, no doubt. And that's an honorable thing. He provided for him, he cared for him, and he helped raise him. So that's an honorable thing. But the Lord came from eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ did not begin in a manger on a silent night. He came from eternity past and stepped down from heaven. And he was God manifested in the very flesh. He was the God-man. Amen? The Son of God, think with me for a minute. The Son of God became a man so that man can become a child of God. Think about that for a second. Turn with me to Luke chapter 3. Y'all are in Luke, so let's go to Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove unto him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. So God identifies him. God the Father identifies God the Son. He said, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus Christ was the sinless Son of God who came to earth, lived a sinless, perfect life, and died on an old rugged cross so we can have the forgiveness of sins. And we're going to talk about how the Lord Jesus Christ was all about His Father's business. Now think with me on that thought. The Son of God became a man so that man can become a child of God. Turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That is you and me. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ restored that broken relationship between God and man. Whenever Adam sinned, whenever the fall of man happened, the relationship between God and man was broken. Sin entered into the world, and He broke what Adam fixed. He fixed what Adam broke. He fixed what Adam broke, and you and I can have a father-son relationship with God Almighty because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so we're called to live and to love as the Lord Jesus Christ did. If you're a Christian, you are called to live a Christ-like life. Amen? So the Lord Jesus Christ was all about His Father's business. And if you are a child of God, you ought to be about your Father's business too. Amen? You ought to be about your Father's business. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Jesus was all about His Father's business, and we should be too. And it all goes back to the saying, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? If you are a child of God, you have to live as a child of God. Amen? What would Jesus do? Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. The Lord was faithful in temptation. The Lord was faithful in temptation. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days He did eat nothing. And when they were ended, He afterward hungered. And the devil said unto Him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answering him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And unto whomsoever I will give it. I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. And He brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in thy hands thou shalt bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. Notice the nature of Satan's temptations. Verse 3 and 4, he tempts him with bread. He tempts him with the urges of the flesh. Verse 5 through 8, he tempts him with power. He tempts him with power. Verses 5 through 8, offering him the kingdoms of the world. Verses 9 through 12, He tempts him with doubt. He's saying, if thou be the Son of God, test God out, basically. He tempts him with doubt. And the whole time he's tempting him, he's saying, if thou be the Son of God. He's tempting him with his identity. If thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God. He's all the time tempting him to doubt his identity. Guess what? You and I get tempted in that same way. He tempts us with our flesh. He tempts us with power. He tempts us with doubt. He tempts you to doubt your identity as a Christian. He certainly does. If you get into a habit of sin, for example, let's just say you get faithful for a minute, you get tempted and you backslide away, the devil's going to get in your ear and he says, if you were really a Christian, you wouldn't have done that. You fall, you take a stumble into sin, and the devil gets in your ear and he says, if you were really a Christian, you wouldn't have done that. Do not listen to the lies of the devil. Be faithful in temptation. Be faithful. Oftentimes, many Christians get into this pattern. They get on fire for God. They get faithful. They're faithful to church. They don't miss a day where we meet to worship Him. And then they start hearing some temptations and they resist it for a little while. And then they give place to the devil for a moment. And then they fall headlong into it and they backslide. They backslide into it. And then the devil starts getting into their ear and start causing them to doubt everything. And then they run back to God like the prodigal son does. But you have to break that cycle. Be sold out for the Lord. Be faithful in temptation. That's what we are called as children of God to do. Be faithful in temptation. Now, you and I cannot be perfect like the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are called to live as He lived and be faithful. Amen? Break that cycle. And the Lord Jesus Christ used the Word of God every time the devil tempted Him. He said, it is written. It is written. He constantly quoted Scripture. The best way to guard yourself against spiritual battles is to get in the Word of God. So you have a sword to fight your battles with. Amen? Turn with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Verse 1. James chapter 4 and verse 1. For whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts? Isn't that what the Lord was tempted, the devil tried to bring in front of him? He caused him to lust at the bread, turn these rocks into bread. But the Lord was faithful. That war in your members. Ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. You only go to the Lord in prayer whenever you want something. You only go to the Lord whenever you have wrong intentions. Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. The word double-minded means doubt. Anytime the devil gets in your ear, he causes you to be double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and let your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. This world laughs at sin today. They laugh at anything that is considered worldly. They think that it's funny to be engulfed in wickedness. They think it's funny to get drunk. They think it's funny to tell dirty jokes. They think it's funny. But He says, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Be afflicted and mourn. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. If you are in gross sin, that should break your heart. Amen? My next point that I want to make is faithful in zeal. Let's go to John chapter 2. Faithful in zeal. John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and changers of money sitting. And whenever he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the money changers and the changers' money and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Here's what was going on. They were selling sacrifice animals. People could be lazy and not bring their own. They were selling sacrifice animals. And they were under the Roman Empire at the time. And they had Roman currency. Well, the Bible says that they should bring a shekel. A shekel, that's Jewish currency. So these Pharisees thought, well, they can make a big profit. If they give us this Roman currency, we'll give them the Jewish currency to give an offering, basically. And so basically they was selling a coin to them just for them to give it right back. And so these Pharisees were getting rich off of that. And the Lord Jesus Christ was upset about that. He was zealous about what was going on in the house of God. And so he makes a cord, a scourge, and he starts running all of them out. And he says, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. He takes it personal because it was an insult to his Father. And whenever we see lewdness into the world, we should take that personal because that is an insult to God, our Father. Amen? We should take it personal. We have a temple also. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the temple of our body. We're not meeting in a Jewish synagogue, but we have a temple which is our body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every spirit that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, bought you with his very own blood. He bought you with his very own blood. You are not your own. And you ought to set some boundaries with worldliness. You ought not to let worldliness in. Your body, your temple, ought not be a place for wickedness. Your body, your temple is no place for fornication and pornography. Your body, your temple is no place for wicked music. Your body, your temple is no place for alcohol and drugs. Your body and your temple is no place for profanity. And your body and your temple ought to be no place for worldliness. Amen? Think with me for a moment. The world is not worried at all about being too worldly. But why are Christians worried about being too churchy? Why are Christians worried about being too churchy? There's no zeal. There's no zeal today. There's churches in town that you go into their church and you think you're at a party. It's got its Christian rock. It's got its Christian rap. It's got its worldly clothing. It's got its short shorts and its mini skirts. It's got its cigarette ashtrays in the parking lot. Everything that you can have a party, a lot of these liberal churches have it. Where's the zeal? Where's the zeal? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're not to look like the world or talk like the world. You are to be a peculiar people unto the Lord. Amen? Amen. Not only faithful in zeal, but faithful in will. Y'all go back to Luke chapter, better yet, Matthew chapter 26. Faithful in will. Matthew 26, verse 37. The Lord Jesus Christ is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26, 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He was fully submitted to his Father. Amen. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That is so true for us all. Amen. And he went away again the second time, praying, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And of course, Judas Iscariot came forward. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, fully submitted to the Father's will. He was always, always about his Father's business. Always about his Father's business. The Gospel according to Luke records the agony and the sweat drops as blood. He knew that he was bound for the cross and he was still submitted to the Father's will. The disciples were supposed to be praying as well. But they demonstrate where we lack. How does our prayer life compare to that? The Lord, He is full of zeal. He is fully submitted to His Father's will, praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And yet His fathers are falling asleep. How many of us oftentimes go to the Lord in prayer and we pray for 2 minutes and then we're asleep? We ought to be taking our burdens to the Lord. Don't let your burdens get too heavy, friends. Don't let your burden get... Give it to the Lord. Go to the Lord in prayer and be submitted to His will. There are many people who are running from their calling right now. They're running from their calling. I personally ran from my calling to preach for a while. I ran for a while. The Lord started calling me to preach and I said, I can't do it. And I ran and I ran and I ran. And it seemed like I couldn't run from that calling. And one day there was an associate pastor preaching at the church that I was going at the time. Ironically, he preached on running from your calling. And he ran from his calling. He wanted to play baseball. He wanted to play baseball, and he went to college and played baseball. And I think he made one season, half of a season, and he broke his ankle. He broke his ankle, and guess what? He went to seminary after that. And it was a church full of people at that time, but he was preaching right to me. I don't think he looked at me. I don't think he looked at me the whole time, but he was preaching right to me because I knew that God had been calling me for a long time, and I was running from that calling. Are you running from your calling? The Lord may be leading you to do something and leading you to take on a ministry of some sort, but you're running for at this time. We need to be submitted to the will of God, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Amen? He was also faithful in sacrifice. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? Verse 1. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. And he hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper his hand. The Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross, and he died for our sins. We are all sinners. No matter how good you think you are a sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ died a cruel, cruel death on that old rugged cross and shed his blood for your sins. And on the third day, he rose again, bodily, victorious, and glorified. And any person who can come to him and simple faith, and believe the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, can be made a child of God. You cannot be about your Father's business until you be made a child of God, until you believe the gospel and be saved, because he restored everything that was broken at the Garden of Eden. The Lord Jesus Christ died on a cross so you and I can be children of God, so we can be about our Father's business. Amen? He was in total obedience, total submission, and he satisfied the wrath of God the Father. He was the totally perfect Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. We're justified by his blood, and we receive his righteousness whenever you get saved. But we're also called to be faithful
and sacrifice. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. A lot of you probably have this verse memorized, but let's go there so that we can somebody can highlight it or put a star by it. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is talking about people who are saved already. And if you're saved, are you about your Father's business? Are you faithful when tempted? Are you faithful in zeal? Are you faithful to the will of God? Are you faithful in sacrifice? Are you presenting your body a living sacrifice? Are you fully submitted to God your Father? Let me ask you one more question. Are you a child of God at all? If you're not, you can be today. You can leave here fully assured of your salvation. And if there's one here today that does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I invite you today, why don't you come and accept Him as your crucified, buried, and risen Savior? He'll save you the moment you believe the gospel. He'll save you right where you are. Why don't you come today and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you in here today and you're saved and you know you're saved? Maybe you are. You're saved and you know you're saved, but you haven't been about your Father's business lately. Why don't you come and get sold out for the Lord? Give it to the Lord. If you have a burden on your heart, why don't you come to the altar and give it to the Lord at this time? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to preach your word, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we could be good ground, that we may bear fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. You mind the Lord at this time.